What do we talk about when we talk about regret? This is Afterwards, a podcast series exploring how regrets shape our lives. Episode 6, Thoughts about Regret, Part 1.
How we should be, how you should be, how the world should be. So the shoulds, that triggers regret because that serves as a natural mechanism. It regulates your behavior. And we all need certain kind of mechanism where I feel that, okay, I'm regulating, monitoring my behavior. I'm a mental health professional. Basically, I was working as a psychologist associate for the past almost 5 years. I am not practicing at the moment. So I worked in hospitals in Karachi. And I've been working with very diverse kind of issues, ranging from relational problems to more clinical, like drug abuse, sexual harassment or domestic violence. I feel that people, they experienced pain. It automatically, they wanted to justify it, that why are they experiencing this pain? It's more like a natural coping mechanism, right? It's just like autopilot that makes sense of your pain, why it happened, what I could have done better, what I could have avoided, why this happened to me, God doesn't love me. No matter how much we see around pain, but it's always when it comes to you, it always feels unique. It always feels, wow, I never realized what happened to me. When people come, they just come with, they're hurting, and they start trying to make sense of it and narrate their pain. In that narration, even though they don't know that they feel regret, but when they're talking, it appears that they feel guilty. Usually they feel that they should have done. They should have made a right decision. They should have been more in control. They should have studied harder, worked harder. Regret is very much attached to trying to make sense of the problem, the pain they have. We have individual responsibility, definitely. But we also have to accept there's an environment around us which is much larger than us. And it will affect us in a good and a bad way, both. And accepting that we really actually don't have much control. Pain happens in life.
I guess a simple regret I've got is I didn't study much at school. I had fun though, but I didn't work very hard. I just sort of played, you know?
Yes.
And I didn't grow up for quite a while. Sort of around about my 40th birthday, I think, actually. So I had a happy childhood and a long one as well.
Why do you regret about this?
I guess, yeah, just not studying hard enough. So really my career choices were limited. I think I'm happy with what I'm doing, but I'm working very hard, and I am now in my 40s, and I'm sort of doing the kind of job that's more suitable for a younger person. So had I had worked harder at school, maybe I'd be having a bit of an easier time now. So that's a kind of regret. Maybe I'd have made more money. So yeah.
Do you have any regrets that you would like to share?
Do I have any regrets that I would like to share? Yes, I do. I regret having done philosophy. I regret having done philosophy at university. Actually, do I want to share this? Possibly. And in some ways, it does help me understand the world better. But in other ways, it creates these huge obstacles to understanding the world. I don't really know my own mind. I think that it's rare that people do. And yet philosophy, at least as it's practiced in the departments that I've been affiliated with, pretends that it's possible to do so. And I think that that is a dangerous lure, to think that we have a kit, to think that we have a clear cut glass understanding of our own minds. I can say all of these things and we can talk about these texts and quotations, but when it comes to regret, it's very hard to plumb those depths, and perhaps impossible to understand exactly what the motions of the minds are in these situations. And it's painful, having done as many years as I've done studying philosophy, and feeling that it hasn't given me the spiritual sustenance that I think a lot of people think that philosophy will give you. I think about all of the philosophy texts that I've read, and I just wish that I'd read something else. I mean, there are so many wonderful novels out there that I haven't read, and I've spent a lot of time reading very, very boring, turgid tracts by analytic philosophers. Why would I do that to myself? I regret it.
A mental health professional, and when we are working with people, it is more like we are with them in their journey. So we are basically fellow travelers who are witnessing what they saw. For example, when I'm walking, I experienced the pain and the confusion and the anger. I have also been so in awe that in spite of what they went through, they're so brave. That the capacity of strength a human can have is just mind-blowing.
Are you thinking of a specific case?
Well, yes, it was basically about a girl who was raped by one of her employers. And she was a very hardworking individual, very hardworking, really saw life as something exciting. And how she was not accepted by her family, rather was accused. And then again about experiencing in your own home domestic violence, and also then getting raped outside. And yet, when I think about such cases, it's like, yet they have strength. I still say that she could still come, walk and come to me, which is so brave, because it's not easy to come and talk to a stranger about something so, so deep and painful. And yet you come and you take that leap of faith and say, I need help. So yes, this was the case which really moved me to the point, because I feel that somewhere it also triggered a feeling of helplessness in me as a woman. How you should be, how you should behave. So again, when she got raped, the question was again, why did you go to his office? Somewhere again, it was a reason about you might have done something wrong. That many times people don't believe you. And they somehow, they kind of make you feel that maybe you did something wrong. You brought it up on yourself. And I've with my experience, that a lot of, especially women, young women who are growing up, it becomes a part of their thinking that there's something about them that they must have done wrong, that it came upon themselves. And this is with this kind of mindset, they grow up and they become adults and they go out, they go into a relationship, they go out and work. That some way they have to be very careful. Which is right. We all have to be careful. Definitely. Who doesn't have to be careful? But I think with this kind of being careful is more about this instilling this belief that there's something about you. Unique. There's something unique about you, something that it's natural other person will do this to you. I see that a lot in women. I see a lot in young girls growing up. And just naturally when something horrific happens with them, for example, sexual harassment or abuse, it's very natural that the first thing they have this regret is, or shame. It's more of regret, toxic, that if I didn't do this, there's something about me. I should have done, been more careful.
How do you undo this kind of thinking?
But when everyone around you is blaming you, in a way, sometimes subtle way, sometimes directly, sometimes in their eyes, you can feel it, you can sense it, that there's somewhere they're blaming you. It's very hard because you're like fighting a very big battle all alone. And at that time, it's very important to understand that you require a person who actually really loves you and is compassionate about you and cares for you. So first thing is to go to that person. And it's not necessary it has to be your family. It can be anyone. Your teacher, your friend, your neighbor, anyone where you feel that you will be heard and accepted. And it is so traumatizing that you really can't function, then you do access mental health professionals or counselors who can help you. Because it's about sitting with someone who doesn't judge you. That's where the shift will come then. Having a very non-judgmental interaction with someone, that's the first step of the shift. Because then you can breathe.
I have 4 sisters and 4 brothers. We are 9. Some brothers, I talked to them for 5 years, some people 7 years. My brother in Emirates, my sister in Jordan, another sister in Lebanon, another brother in Turkey.
Where did you grow up?
Syria.
Syria. And your parents, are they still there?
My mother died from 5 months. I want to tell you something. Really, I feel myself very big now because I lose my mother. Even even I don't live with her before. I don't see my mother from 3 years. And when my mother died, I changed everything, changed my mind, changed everything. I feel myself very quickly big, old. I don't know what happened this feeling. I think I lose a piece of my heart. Now I feel myself the same, my mother. And my son told me, you are like your mother. You sit like your mother. When I speak, you speak. I don't know what that. Yeah. I think I stole from my mother in the world, in the movie, in everything. Maybe I can't believe I lost my mother. Because she's in my mind. I am my mother.
In your experience in living in Pakistan and the UK, do you feel people express their regrets in different ways here compared to there?
Because Pakistan is a very collectivistic society where people function collectively. So their uniformity, conformity is very important. Peer pressure is important compared to UK, which is very individualistic. Well, there are pros and cons in both, but when it comes to regret being able to easily talk about your regrets, I do feel that in a collectivistic society, because there is a pressure of conformity, so there is also more regulation as to what you're doing compared to an individualistic society. So there is less room for mistakes, in a way, because if you do a mistake, it will affect the other person directly, because we function collectivistically. Everyone is functioning as one unit. So if one person does something, there will be a direct effect on the other person. One is pressured to be conformed, to conform. It's a very hierarchical society. So it's the head of the family. There's a specific role assigned to a man. He's the protector. He's the head of the family. And then the mother, the nurturer. And because Pakistan went through a partition where there was literally a breakage of families and they had to go from one place to another and find a new home and find new roots. I mean, people were just they didn't know where to go. And a lot of trauma was being witnessed. A lot of bloodshed happened. A lot of rape happened. A lot of, so the regret of, and the regret and helplessness of not being able to protect when you should have protected as the head of the family. You should have been there when your child or your daughter was being raped, or when your house was being snatched, or as a parent, you should have been able to protect your children. So this kind of regret, deep regret and shame, once a partition happened and you did get your country, and now you're starting a new life, but that trauma, that regret, that deep-seated feeling of loss and helplessness is still there. And at that time in partition, no one talked about it with them, these people who went through it. No one sat with them and said, what is your experience? Like what we have now. At that time, mental health was not even taken seriously. And it was more like, just be brave and move on. So imagine these people who are trying to now build a new life with all that feelings inside them, and they just want to move on. They do move on, but those feelings don't go away. They are there. So So once they start to build a new life, they have their children, those messages start coming. Be careful. Okay. Stay close to the home. Why are you going? So it's so natural because you've experienced that trauma that you will be naturally be insecure. And then it becomes a vicious cycle. Then you become overprotective of your children. You don't allow them to be individuals. And then they have their children and they pass on that message to their children. And then it becomes generational to generational. The regret, the shame is passed on. You should have done this. Why aren't you doing this? So a lot of what we learn is generational. It's passed down to us by our forefathers.
This episode features Sobiasha, Noel, Adam Ferner, and X. Additional interview by Ibru and Geraldine from Elat. Elat is a learning community based in East London. Music by Solar Firenze and Victor Pereira. Our theme tune is by Solar Firenze. Afterwards, Stories of Regret is a National Lottery funded project. This episode was produced by me, Roman Beck. See you next time.